A sin worse than the original crucifixion of Christ. The wrath of God is not declared against unrepentant sinners merely because of the sins they have committed, but because, when called to repent, they choose to continue in defiance of light. If the Jewish leaders had submitted to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, they would have been pardoned, but they were determined not to yield. On the day following the healing of the cripple, Annas and Caiaphas met for the trial, and the prisoners were brought before them. In that very room, before some of those men, Peter had shamefully denied his Lord. He now had an opportunity of redeeming his cowardice. The Peter who denied Christ was impulsive and self-confident, but since his fall he had been converted. He was modest and self-distrustful, filled with the Holy Spirit, and was resolved to remove the stain of his apostasy by honoring the name he had once disowned. The priests were forced to inquire of the accused how the cure of the crippled man had been accomplished. With holy boldness Peter declared, "Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." The Jewish leaders had supposed the disciples would be overcome with fear and confusion when brought before the Sanhedrin. Instead, these witnesses spoke with a convincing power that silenced their adversaries. There was no trace of fear in Peter's voice as he declared of Christ, "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner." As the priests listened to the apostles' fearless words, they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. When the disciples first heard the words of Christ, they felt their need of him. They sought, they found, they followed him, in the temple, at the table, on the mountainside, in the field. They were as pupils with the teacher, daily receiving from him lessons of eternal truth. Jesus, the Savior, who had walked and talked and prayed with them, had ascended to heaven in the form of humanity. They knew that he was before the throne of God, their friend and Savior still, forever identified with suffering humanity. Their union with him was stronger now than when he was with them in person. An indwelling Christ shone out through them, so that men, beholding, marveled. Close beside Peter as a convincing witness stood the man who had been miraculously healed. The appearance of this man added weight to Peter's words. Priests and rulers were silent, unable to refute Peter's statement, but they were nonetheless determined to put a stop to the teaching of the disciples. The priests had crucified Jesus, but here was convincing proof that they had not put a stop to the working of miracles in his name, nor to the proclamation of the truth he taught. The healing of the cripple and the preaching of the apostles had filled Jerusalem with excitement. The priests and rulers ordered the apostles to be taken away, that they might counsel among themselves. It would be useless to deny that the man had been healed. To cover up the miracle by falsehoods was impossible, for it had been wrought before a multitude of people. They felt that the work of the disciples must be stopped, or their own disgrace would follow. Calling them again before the Sanhedrin, the priest commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So, with repeated threats and injunctions, the apostles were set at liberty.